We continue with the conclusion of our series on Joseph. To this point, Joseph had been stripped, sold into slavery by his brothers, and through the guidance of God, he had weathered slavery and years of prison, and was guided into power to help Egypt prepare for years of famine. Earlier in the famine, Joseph's brothers had come to Egypt for assistance. He kept himself disguised, he treated them harshly, and demanded that they leave one of their number as hostage till they brought their other innocent brother, Benjamin, back. But secretly, he also blessed them. He gave them not only their grain, but in secret, the money they'd used to purchase it. They returned home confused and fearful, worried it would look like they had stolen. And now desperation strikes again, and they prepare for another trip. Because this is the big conclusion, the scripture reading is long today, extra long. And I've shortened the preaching part of the sermon, but it's one of the great stories in all scripture, and one of my very favorites. So I hope you'll bear with me. From Genesis, beginning chapter 43. Now the famine was severe in the land, and when they had eaten up the grain that they had bought from Egypt, their father said to them, "Go again, buy us a little more food." But Judah said to him, "The man solemnly warned us, saying, 'You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you.' If you will send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food, but if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, 'You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you.'" Israel said, "Why did you treat me so badly as to tell the man that you had another brother?" They replied, "The man questioned us carefully about ourselves and our kindred, saying, 'Is your father still alive? Have you another brother?' What we told him was an answer to those questions. Could we in any way know that he would say, 'Bring your brother down?'" Then Judah said to his father Israel, "Send the boy with me, and let us be on our way so that we may live and not die, you and we, and also our little ones. I myself will be surety for him. You can hold me accountable for him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. If we had not delayed, we would now have returned twice." Then the father Israel said to them, "If it must be so, then do this. Take some of the choice fruits of the land in your bags and carry them down as a present to the man, a little balm and a little honey, gum, resin, pistachio nuts, and almonds. Take double the money with you. Carry back with you the money that was returned in the top of your sacks. Perhaps it was an oversight. Take your brother also and be on your way to the man. May God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, so that he may send back your other brother and Benjamin. As for me, if I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved." So the men took the present, and they took double the money with them, as well as Benjamin. Then they went on their way down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of the house, "Bring the men into the house and slaughter an animal and make ready, for the men are to dine with me at noon." The man did as Joseph said and brought the men to Joseph's house. Now the men were afraid because they were brought to Joseph's house, and they said, "It is because of the money replaced in our sacks the first time that we've been brought in, so that he might have an opportunity to fall upon us, to make slaves of us and take our donkeys." So they went up to the steward of Joseph's house and spoke with him at the entrance of the house. They said, "Oh, my lord, we came down the first time to buy food, and when we came to the lodging place, we opened our sacks, and there was each one's money at the top of his sack, our money in full weight. So we have brought it back with us. Moreover, we've brought down with us additional money to buy food. We do not know who put our money in our sacks." He replied, "Rest assured. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father must have put treasure in your stacks for you. I received your money." Then he brought Simeon out to them. When the steward had brought the men into Joseph's house and given them water, and they had washed their feet, and when he had given their donkeys fodder, they made the present ready for Joseph's coming at noon, for they heard he would dine there. When Joseph came home, they brought him the present that they had carried to the house and bowed to the ground before him. He inquired about their welfare and said, "Is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke, is he still alive?" They said, "Your servant, our father, is well. He is still alive." And they bowed their heads and did obeisance. Then he looked up and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your youngest brother, of whom you spoke to me? God be gracious to you, my son." With that, Joseph hurried out, because he was overcome with affection for his brother, and he was about to weep. So he went into a private room and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out, and controlling himself, he said, "Serve the meal." They served him by himself, and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. When they were seated before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, the men looked at one another in amazement. Portions were taken to them from Joseph's table, but Benjamin's portion was 5 times as much as any of theirs. So they drank and were merry with him. Then he commanded the steward of his house, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the top of his sack. Put my cup, the silver cup, in the top of the sack of the youngest, with his money for the grain." And he did as Joseph told him. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away with their donkeys. And when they had gone only a short distance from the city, Joseph said to his steward, "Go, follow after the men. And when you overtake them, say to them, 'Why have you returned evil for good? Why have you stolen my silver cup? Is it not from this that my lord drinks? Does he not use it indeed for divination? You have done wrong in doing this.'" When he overtook them, he repeated these words to them. They said to him, "Why does my lord speak such words as these? Far be it from your servants that they should do such a thing. Look, the money we found at the top of our sacks, we brought back to you from the land of Canaan. Why then would we steal silver or gold from your lord's house? Should it be found with any one of your servants, let him die. Moreover, the rest of us will become my lord's slaves." He said, "Even so, in accordance with your words, let it be. He with whom it is found shall become my slave, but the rest of you shall go free." Then each quickly lowered his sack to the ground, and each opened his sack. He searched, beginning with the eldest and ending with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. At this they tore their clothes. Then each one loaded his donkey, and they returned to the city. Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house while he was still there, and they fell to the ground before him. Joseph said to them, "What deed is this that you have done? Do you not know that one such as I can practice divination?" And Judah said, "What can we say to my lord? What can we speak? How can we clear ourselves? God has found out the guilt of your servants. Here we are then, my lord's slaves, both we and also the one in whose possession the cup has been found." But he said, "Far be it from me that I should do so. Only the one in whose possession the cup was found shall be my slave. But as for you, go up in peace to your father." Then Judah stepped up to him. I said, "O my lord, let your servant please speak a word in my lord's ears, and do not be angry with your servant, for you are like Pharaoh himself. My lord asked his servants, saying, 'Have you a father or a brother?' And we said to my lord, 'We have a father, an old man, and a young brother, the child of his old age. His brother is dead. He alone is left of his mother's children. And his father loves him. Then you said to your servants, bring him down to me so that I may set my eyes on him. We said to my Lord, the boy cannot leave his father. For if he should leave his father would die. Then you said to your servants, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall see my face no more. And when we went back to your servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And when your father said, go again, when our father said, go again, buy us a little food, we said, we cannot go down. Only if our younger brother goes with us will we go down, for we cannot see the man's face unless our younger brother is with us. Then my servant, your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons. One left me, and I said, surely he has been torn to pieces, and I have never seen him since. If you take this one also from me, and harm comes to him, you will bring down my gray hairs in sorrow to the grave. Now, therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, and the boy is not with us, then as his life is bound up in the boy's life, when he sees that the boy is not with us, he will die. And your servants will bring down the gray hairs of your servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For your servant became surety for the boy to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I will bear the blame in sight of my father all my life. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain as a slave to my Lord in place of the boy. And let the boy go back with his brothers. For how can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? I fear to see the suffering that would come upon my father. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, send everyone away from me. So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him. So dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come closer to me. And they came closer. He said, I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years. In which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord of all his house and a ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me. You and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see it, that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. This is the word of the Lord. The brothers approach with doom and fate clouded around them. At the front of their minds is the notion that they are likely cursed before God's eyes for their long ago cruelty to their brother Joseph. They know they are going vulnerable into Egypt carrying what look like stolen goods. And though the steward tells them it is no matter, and they come to feast with this powerful Egyptian, yet they find themselves wrapped up in new plots and schemes, confusing and dangerous, new accusations. It's a mess, and one they fear will truly doom them. Their doom is never Joseph's intention, but still his old resentment, pain, and anger seems to surface in the way he treats them with the whole cup gambit, maybe testing them over and over again, trying to parse out their reactions to his brother Benjamin and to misfortune. Or maybe he's just trying to get his innocent brother safe out of their hands so that they cannot hurt him in the same way. Joseph is entitled to every drop of pain and anger he has toward them. They really hurt him, did wrong to him, damaged the shape of his life for years afterward. He's entitled to his pain. Pain can be a good thing. It tells you something is wrong. When your hand is in fire, pain tells you to take it out. When your bone is broken, pain takes you to a doctor. When your relationships are broken, pain can lead you to seek reunion or to seek safety from a dangerous relationship. Pain is a message telling you that you need healing. Pain can be important. Listen to your pain, all forms of it. Anger, sadness, the wounds you have. But it can linger even when your hand is taken out of the fire. Even when the doctor has reset the bone, anger and grief can push past their boundaries and destroy even good things. Pain can last even when you do not need it. Even when you are safe. And then it stops being good. Joseph's time in the bottom of a well, and shackled in a caravan, and shackled as a slave, and in the bottom of a dungeon, the anger and the pain, they served him then. They're the kind of thing that reminds a person that what happened to him was wrong. He did not deserve any of it. What happened to him did not have to happen. And when he had no hope of release, for there were those times, anger can keep a person alive. Can keep a person from refusing to sink to their circumstances. And now Joseph is in the presence of those who wounded him. His old anger and pain surfacing, paired with his protectiveness of a brother who shared a mother with him, and so he fears his brother is at risk of the same anger and beatings the old family strife gave to Joseph so many years ago. And the people who wronged him went unpunished, for the most part. Joseph deserves to feel angry about that, if he feels angry about that. And now his little trick with the hidden cup has succeeded. Joseph has gotten his innocent brother out of their hands to stay with him, to live a new life together after his other brothers leave, and he is prepared to send them away with food and money as before. They will be well fed and far away. They will have their good and separate lives. The rift in their family will be permanent, and so, he thinks, everyone will be safe. Benjamin will be safe. And Joseph safe and away from them. Joseph has decided, and the brothers bowing and begging will not sway him. But God has one surprise left for Joseph, one which none of his prophets' dreams predicted. his cruel brother, Judah, steps forward. Judah, who is the very one who made the plan to sell Joseph into slavery. Judah, who, though Joseph does not know it, has now lost sons of his own. Judah steps forward. "Please," he says, "the loss of Joseph half killed my father. The loss of Benjamin will do it the rest of the way. Please. I cannot bear to cause any more pain. Please, take me instead." And everything changes. Joseph's eyes fill up and his voice breaks. "It's me, Joseph," he says, "the one you sold into Egypt." Joseph realizes that his life has bloomed beyond the worst they could do to him. He has realized that he loves his life now. It is an abundant gift he has. He would not trade his new life for his old one. Joseph has seen God lead him in hard times and good, how even in prison and in pain, God was preparing an abundant life for many. Joseph does not say that the wrong they did to him was right. No, he says, "I am the one you sold into Egypt." No, it's that Joseph is safe in the arms of God. And so though he is entitled to his anger and his pain, he does not need them anymore. He can let them go. He can forgive. Now that he is safe in God's arms, he can love his brothers once again. Joseph can see with the eyes of grace. And Judah, who thought his cruelty caused the death of his brother, sees him instead alive and flourishing, and they are together once more. Instead of doom, he finds his own redemption. He and his brothers see clearly with their weeping eyes, and they will send for their grieving father, who will find his lost son alive in a far country. Where was only death and pain and abandonment and division, new life. Just as those disciples who abandoned Jesus to the cross will find. For they will see, as Joseph has seen, that where the world makes a cross fit only for torture and murder, God can make a way of redemption and new life. Grace abounds, and we are called to abound in grace. We can sometimes speak of forgiving as though it is a grim obligation, a demand to make you feel yet more guilty for those unhealed places in you. But that's not it. Real forgiving is the healing of those broken places. We cannot demand forgiveness from each other, for each is entitled to their anger and their pain over wrongs done to them. Maybe they need that anger and that pain for now. Maybe you have not yet reached safety and your anger is a necessary protection. Maybe your pain still has something to tell you. Pay attention to it. But if you find yourself safe in the arms of grace, if you find your heart dipped in the mercies of God, that anger and the pain, you do not need them anymore. You can let them go. You can start to heal. You can forgive.